Saturday night, I believe, April 19th. Last night we had Dr. Colin Ross, and tonight is April 19th already, 2008. I think you're going to enjoy these little features that we're going to run here. The first one starts off with the National Health Federation a few months ago, actually years ago, and that one was... I'm just in a conversation here about the nuclear receptor, and then we get into some juice. So the introduction part, I just skipped it because I think you guys know who I am by now. We're just going to roll it on in there and just see how we do as we start into this wonderful little excursion in time.
My body is very sensitive.
Oh,
my
mind
is very
sensitive.
Sensitive.
Had body, baby.
Other kinds of ways to deal with this electronic stuff that's hitting us all the time. Okay? Yes. Yes, we have these. These things sell for about $100. And we sell them for like $80 at the shows. They're expensive, you know. You have to pay for quality.
I know, this was a while ago.
And
they're almost $200
I've always made products,
now.
The best.
Same product.
You'll never find
more
anything
developed.
Less than the best. You know, like my vitamins. The manufactured cost is more than some of the retail costs of vitamins on the market. But there's vitamin B15 in there, B17, and they work. We get results. You know, I learned a long time ago in health you can't cheat. And you really regret it when you don't have it anymore. You know, it's like go down there and lose all your money and then try to go home and exist on one of these tables, right? It's better, you're better off, you can't afford to lose it, better not play with it in the first place. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah.
What is niacin good for your body?
What is niacin? Niacin is B3. B3 is a enzyme that helps the body metabolize certain proteins. It's very good for your body in the fact that it gets rid of proteins that aren't good for you, antigens, trap proteins. For example, when you eat meat, you get a lot less assimilation of protein from meat than you do some kinds of vegetables or nuts. So as a result, when you eat a lot of meat or a lot of dairy products, you get these trap proteins in the body. They're called antigens. The body then can no longer circulate properly. It's the beginning of a cholesterol problem. You take a bunch of niacin, it acts like a vasodilator, vasoconstrictor, and you start flushing all over the place because all these histamines are coming out. So it's...
How much should you take?
Okay, every person in niacin is different, how much they need. What I recommend is that you go one day, just drink juices. The next day, you start on a very light diet, and you increase your niacin until you don't burn up anymore. Then what you do, once you say at 500 or milligrams or a gram a day of niacin, what you do then is you start putting things back in your diet, and then 4 hours after you've eaten that, take a half a gram of niacin and see if you react to it or not. If you react to it, it's toxic to your body. You should eliminate it from your body. You can do that with fertile and non-fertile eggs, for example. I found that fertile eggs wouldn't cause my face to turn bright red like a beet after breakfast, whereas commercial eggs would with niacin, these kinds of things. It's a good, but don't take too much because you can hurt yourself right away with it. Okay, yeah.
No.
Niacinamide is a more dilute form of niacin, and it does not give you the same result. A lot of people claim that it gives you the same result, but the fact is it doesn't reach the center, the mass section of the cell, like the niacin itself does. That's why you don't get it's a slower, gradual process, and it's all right to take it with it. Like in the formulas that I've designed, I put niacin and niacinamide both in the formulas, okay, because it's another form. Yes? It doesn't really matter, but they recommend that you take it before you eat or with the meal. You'll get a less severe histamine reaction if you take it with a meal. If you take it after a meal, you're going to get a more severe reaction. Yeah. I like both types, okay? For example, in the formulas that we use chelated minerals. So here we're using a pre-digested protein and a mineral base, okay? If I'm doing a straight experiment, let's say, for example, somebody's got herpes, right? Well, it's a well-known fact that lysine will destroy herpes. Because what happens is lysine goes in and fools the virus. It's a nerve problem. So in that case, you take a free form of lysine, you know, several grams a day for 3 or 4 days on an empty stomach. So there's a case where you use a free form. Okay? Depends on what the situation is. If it's a synthesis, you wouldn't use a free form. If it's a straight treatment. But remember this, when you do a free form amino, it's going to behave like a drug. Because it's going in, it's going to cross the blood-brain barrier. There's no resistance. When you have food, there's competition between the food at the blood-brain barrier with the protein, okay? So free forms are the strongest form of medicine next to a hard drug. So we treat them with a lot of respect. Okay, yes. Yes, I eat meat. I was a vegetarian for 7 years, and I ran out of energy. Yeah. It takes the year. The body, in order to become a vegetarian, you conscientiously have to take about 21 years to do that, because DNA has three different octaves in the body that it operates at. The low-frequency DNA vibratory frequencies, the ones that you're born with as a child, and this is why your serotonin levels are so high, because you're acting like it's like a buffer. Okay? At this point, you can digest about anything. But as you refine your system, your vibratory rate goes up, your DNA changes octaves, and you can utilize, eventually, ultimately, you could take nitrogen from the air and, through the action of the pituitary, produce all the protein that you need. There's probably no one in this room that's a breatharian yet, but that's how a breatharian can do it. So you have to gradually go towards being a vegetarian or a fruitarian. Otherwise, your yin energies, you become very temperamental, very susceptible to high-frequency energies, okay? So you have to go slowly. Most of us in this lifetime will never make it, because these bodies are centuries old as meat eaters. We've been mistreating ourselves for a long time. Yes. There's a lady in, there's a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, written by Paramahansa Yogananda. It talks about St. Teresa in India, who lived a few years back, that was a breatharian for many, many years. And she wasn't like the guy up at Santa Cruz that he considers being a breatharian, not eating during the day and going down to McDonald's and Colonel Sanders at night, at midnight, you know. That was a pseudo form of breatharian. Okay. Another question. If you guys really want to have a lot of fun tomorrow in the Dynasty Room, starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to have some fun. I teach about altered states. For example, a feeling, okay? A feeling, I'm going to give you a specific point right here, right now, using this chart so you can directly relate to it, okay? How many of you in the morning have woke up and you go down by the ocean, you're up the mountains, you take a deep breath, and you feel great, you feel euphoric? Okay, ever had that happen? Okay, here's what happens. You have, remember the chain that I drew? You have lysine and arginine. These two proteins store themselves, they combine, in the pituitary gland. Remember the organ down here? They're in the pituitary gland. All right? Pituitary gland, when you take this deep breath in the morning, you have lots of negative ionization up in the mountains. You don't have any in here at all. This negative ionization causes the pituitary gland to relax, sending vasopressin into the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier in the brain switches at such a vibratory rate that energy in what's called the emotional plane, the lower emotional plane, some people call it the astral plane, comes in to consciousness on specific receptor sites in certain parts of the brain and gives you, in consciousness, this feeling of euphoria. Okay? That's one basic thing that happens in the body. In the lower part of the body, like the adrenals, for example, you go and you put copper in your body. You drink caffeine, coffee. You stimulate it. What happens is then you produce cortisones, which come into the brain. The brain then tunes into another part of the astro-emotional feeling, part of the physical, and you feel this energy feeling. Okay? Now, how many of you know have watched science fiction become science fact? Remember, for example, like back when I was a kid in the 40s, I used to watch Man Go to the Moon. That, to me, was tremendous. You know, Man Going to the Moon. On his little one-inch screen television set, which was a 100-pound portable, old Crosley, I'll never forget that thing, you know. Well, when I worked with Wernher von Braun and the astronauts in the 60s, and I currently work with NASA now a little bit, even in the 80s, I find that when we went to the moon with man, it was a whole lot more glamorous, a whole lot more detailed, a whole lot more colorful, and a whole lot more than science fiction earlier, you know, depicted it to be. Well, now if you look at science fiction, what do you see? Bionic Woman, Wonder Woman. You know, you see all this higher consciousness, higher strength, super conscious beings, you know, Matthew Starr, all these kinds of things. Well, what happens is, and some of you probably remember, you've worked around me, is that instead of, let's say, when the certain stimuli are put on the body, okay, to produce this, let's say we had lysine and arginine, and let's say we had introduced a vibration to the body, okay, a vibration that would have caused guanine to link up with these aminos. Now what happens is, when a certain stimulus comes, this goes into the brain, and instead of, you know, just feeling good, we take a piece of metal and bend it like a piece of plastic, or we pick a car up, you know, because the jack collapsed and it fell on our son. Okay? Or we're walking on hot coals and we're not even noticing it. These are called altered states. Now, our bodies should be today, by divine law, we should be able to do that. Christ used to say, people will do all the stuff that I do. Because he was one person that cleaned up his act and he didn't have to deal with the pollution that we do. And what happened was, that's where we're supposed to be now. So what I have done, you know, this is kind of outside the health movement, but it really isn't. Because I've had people working with my devices now for over 12 years. And as a matter of fact, Monday at the seminar, if Lawrence Kennedy, who's on my booth, is there, he performs some of these things. He bends metal with his mind. His son breaks glass by looking at it. These kinds of things, you have to get Lawrence to do it, but we're going to be teaching and talking about this tomorrow in the Dynasty Room. But let me show you something about vibration and sensitivity. Okay, here we have the sun, right? The sun is here, and here's our Earth. Our Earth goes around the sun every 364.5 days. During that time, we have four seasons. These four seasons caused nature to behave in four different distinct personalities before we began botching up once again the ozone layer and the CO2 layers, right? Okay, so now there's a behavioral trait of this. For example, the sun's rays are hitting us in different aspects, causing us to be healthy or sicker in the winter and the summer, causing us to have suntans or be white. Now, what happens next is we look into time a little bit more. And out here in the center of our universe is the Pleiades. And there's a sun there called Alcyon. Our sun goes around this sun every 26,872.5 years. Okay? And this is called the precession of the equinox. And during this time, our Earth and our sun are bathed by energies of other stars, like Orion, the Great Bear, Cirrus, all these different stars. And what happens is, this vibratory frequency coming from the starlight is very intense and has a very, very profound effect on the body, in such a way that if you were to divide this into an 11,000 some odd year cycle, you would have an age of darkness and an age of light. And if you divide this into subdivisions of 2,500 years, you begin to understand what they mean by the Piscean Age, the Aquarian Age, Libran Age, all these different ages, Taurian Age, that we go through over time. Then further, if you enhance your imagination a little bit more and lengthen your attention span, you begin to see how races during different times had different forms of science, different behavioral characteristics. You begin to see the root of the Chinese, the Negro, and all these people on our planet, because all of this is unlocked when we look at time on a greater perspective. Right now, where we are is we're coming into an age where, as the Eastern people used to say, the electric couple is more complete, meaning that our bodies can now assimilate these higher vibratory frequencies and the endocrine system will now respond to them. We talked about vibration, stars, just like planets, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, have an aspecting effect on our local endocrine system. So does this travel, the sojourn through the universe, have an effect on our higher astral and higher spiritual natures, okay? So what we're doing right now from a pollution standpoint is we're blocking the behavioral aspect of what we should really be enjoying right now. Even in the book of Job in the Bible, it talks about the sweet influences of the Pleiades. But think about, what is an influence? The influence is something that causes change. And it says sweet influence. So it means sweet change. And this might give us a greater understanding of where we're coming from, why we're here, and what we're all about. Okay? Now, unfortunately, what happens is people mock this frequency up because we're being smothered with all of these pollutions. So we're mocking this up. That's why one out of four kids today wants to mock it up in school with drugs, right? Because drugs now are more enhanced than ever because of our influence in the universe. And greater, more bizarre experiences happen to people on drugs. But unfortunately, people take greater and greater falls. Like one out of four Americans now has had coke. Do you know what the long-term effects of cocaine is? I mean, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen it. I know what it does. It destroys you in the end. It eludes you at first, and then it destroys you in the end. The less you eat, the more you breathe, and the more you feel, the higher you're going to get. That's the only way to do it. There's no other way. And these drugs just mock up. It's amazing, though, if you look at this aspect, and you look at the carbon atom now, for example. Carbon atom is the same thing as a pyramid, right? There's four of these in the red blood cell. If you look at the front, the number of inches in a pyramid, the front of the face of the pyramid, you come up with a number of 12,900 and something. Twice that ends up being the same number as the precession of the equinox. So even the ancients, when they built the pyramid, knew by divine dimension what this was all about. And you begin to see how architecture really works. When you understand architecture, you can go over here and you can look at a caterpillar, and he's going to teach you something about body function. Okay? When I was building advanced propulsion systems a long time ago, I got to a point where I couldn't go any further at Rockwell. Why? Because I didn't understand the universe. Why? Because I didn't know how I functioned. By studying yourself, you learn about time travel, space travel, because it's all inside in our own natures. You know, respiration is so important. That's one of the things I'm learning now by having lung problems that I've had. I've learned how not only do we breathe, the thing in a body called the Bohr effect, where the hemoglobin picks up the oxygen, brings it down to the vital organs of the body, and picks up carbon dioxide and discharges it. The universe does the same thing. It breathes every day, every microsecond. Yeah. Astrology is very simple. Astrology is nothing more than how much we're affected by positioning of planets. Planets act like filters, okay? For example, let's say on the day that we had this breath of air, the vasopressin, okay? Let's say that the negative ions came, vasopressin came into our pituitary gland. Let's say on that particular day, Uranus was in transit with the Earth. If Uranus would have been in transit with the Earth on that particular day, Uranus directly relates to the pituitary gland in the body. That means the threshold, in other words, the barrier, the blood-brain barrier resistance, that you would need, the amount of negative ions you would need to overcome to get this feeling would have been less. In other words, it would have taken less for you on that day to experience a high. Some days you go up in the mountains, and I don't care how good you feel or the environment is and you are, you just don't feel anything. You ever had that happen? That's the effects of planets. Now, astrology is the science of all effects of all planets, because depending on how you feel is how you're going to act. When you feel a certain way, you act a certain way, then you establish an echo from your behavior. How you respond to the echo then determines your personality. Okay? There are basically 12 different personalities determined by 12 different aspects of the. This is what Christ's disciples were all about. Each one was a personification. When you as a human being become self-realized to the point that you understand how this relationship between the universe, your environment, interacts within yourself, and you behave and forgive in such a way, because there's a lot of compassion is learned in this, then you become an example of one of the 12, and you become an archetype on the ray, and you have tremendous power moving through you. It's not your power. It's the universal power. It's everybody's power, but it goes through you. Yeah. Prana is the animating factor behind the breath. And you've got to understand what that means. That means you have, like a negative ionization, you have charged negative ions and uncharged negative ions. The first work that was brought to the century, the 21st century, was at the turn of the century in what was called the Babbitt atom. We found, for example, medical science well knows today that the greatest lack of prana, the prana vitality globule, is in the wee hours of the morning, between about 1:30 and about 5. That's why you have the highest natural deaths taking place during this time. Okay? Then you couple that with the fact of the rays of the sun in the wintertime being less, and so the actual amount of this prana is available less to us. And so what happens is, during the winter times, this is amplified by a power of 10. So you have the highest amount of deaths occurring at the weeest hours of the morning in the shortest months of the winter with the daylight. Okay? So, if you ask me how I utilize that, first of all, I'm aware of how it affects myself and my environment. If I'm going to go cheat and fool around all night and play hard, I'm going to do it in the summertime. I'm not going to do it in the wintertime because I know my immune system is susceptible. Okay? These kinds of things are what you learn about, you know? Okay? That's how I use prana. Also, I keep my lungs clear, and every morning I do a fire breathing exercise every morning, rapid breathing. You have tremendous lungs when you do that. Most people don't even know how to breathe. You breathe through your stomach. And I used to breathe through my lungs, force my chest back and forth. But after I learned to breathe through my stomach, I began to breathe again. Yes, Hal. It is time. Well, you guys come to my seminar tomorrow. We're down on all the Donsbach booths. I'm floating around on those. Thank you and God bless.
We'll step this puppy up to the next level, and we'll have a complete show here soon. Hot dog. Now, this is another lecture. This is another one. This is a lot of fun, too. A little different topics, but because we covered nutrition on that one.
So how many of you guys saw me speak last time anyway? I was here. A few of you. How many of you were in the UFO panel this morning? Oh, we got a repeat on the UFO panel group, huh? Well, my name is Fred Bell, and I've been hanging around this planet for a little while, not too long, but long enough. And I've been through quite a few different experiences, and I've been a contactee for a while. And I've been able to share some of my experiences with a few people that have been around me from time to time, wherein they could share some of the contact events when they were physical, which has always been fun. How many of you guys live up here anyway, in Santa Fe? How many from Albuquerque? Anybody from Albuquerque? And how many from other places? Where are you guys from, the other places?
Taos.
Oh, a lot of Taos people, huh?
Las Vegas.
Okay. Cool. Is it still humming up there in Taos? Still got the sound? Some of you hear it and some of you don't, huh? Do you hear the sound up there? No, well, you guys are from Taos, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were. Everybody from Taos, is there anybody from Taos not hear this sound? A couple of you don't, huh? Yeah, I don't know what it is either. I've heard a lot of explanations, but I haven't been up there to hear it myself. I do know that there are a lot of underground things up here because I spent a number of years coming and going out of Dulce when it was real active up. How many of you guys have been up to Dulce, by the way? One person in the whole group? Two? Dulce's up by Farmington, Four Corners, Dulce, New Mexico. Yeah, with the Jicarilla group up there. They're a good bunch. Yeah, we were up there. We've had a lot of fun. I don't know how many. I heard the Grays aren't so active up there anymore, but they used to be very active. We used to go up there a lot and take film crews up there and film those things coming out of the ground. One night we were up there with I brought my truck up here and I brought some equipment. One of the things that the Pleiadians taught us to do in our technology, our systems technology, and I don't know if you've heard our music, but we got into sound with Semyasi a number of years ago. And one of the things that Semyasi, I asked her, you know, I says, why do you guys live 1,000 years? And, you know, we only live 100 or so, you know, and probably out of that, maybe 70 with real coherency, because we got 10 years to tune ourselves in and a couple of years to fade out, right? So you have 10 years of 10 experiences on this planet. So Miyazi's comment was, you know, she kind of laughed and said, well, she says, you know, you guys had longevity on this planet, you know, several years ago. And you got to realize this is right after the explanation of about our solar system going around the Pleiades every 25,827.5 years, wherein we have 2,000-year periods where different levels of integral souls come in, meaning we're coming from a 2,000-year period with a certain vibratory frequency of a soul that would incarnate here. And that last period that we're coming in out of, the Piscean Age, the integrity of the soul was such that they were believers. They were hung up in what's called the ring pass knot of the planet. The ring pass knot of the planet is an area that you incarnate within. You know, you're in your body, you're out of your body. You're in your body, you're out of your body. Until you learn these lessons. And that whole area, that whole arena in energy expression physically takes place somewhere around the solar system. But going around the Pleiades, we come into the area which becomes the next generation or higher frequency, which some call the precursing energy area to the photon belt. Which the photon belt is nothing more than the excitation level of the consciousness bringing the astral to the physical. And so I asked her about that, and she says, well, you know, the Pisceans that were here before represented the last 12,000 years of incarnating souls that were bound down, you know, basically in chains, you know, to this planet. And they were believers, so they set up all these religious things. All the religions were set up. She says, now the Aquarians are coming. They're believers. I mean, knowers. They're knowers. So knowers don't need an environmental report. They don't need a lot of things to know. They don't need a church to realize God, environmental report to realize that the planet is pretty, you know, out of balance. And she says, these are the kinds of things you got to know. But she says, 12,000 years ago, when we were backside, because we're looking at a 27,000-year period here, 12,000 years ago, as you entered this autumn that you went through of the last 12,000 years, in other words, we're going into the spring and the summer now of a really great millennium. But then we'll go around that and we'll come out. By the way, if you study, any of you ever study archaeology, you'll always find that civilizations rise and fall in 25,000 year periods. When David Niven, for example, was excavating Mexico, he found three different cities buried upon one another, each 25,000 years in age. This is normal archaeological findings. And she said, this last time around, the Greys were here during Atlantean times. And, you know, Poseidon, of course, was the capital of Atlantis. It was a couple of miles off the coast of Miami. And she said, you know, they had that scalar wave warfare over there. This is when the black priests had aligned themselves again with the Greys, because the Greys are basically soul snatchers, as you probably know. And so, because they are a group over soul, and they're not individualized like we are. She says, then, if you remember your myths, like Methuselah and those kind of guys, they lived 700-800 years. But because the Greys interfered with the genetics, and you allowed it to happen, look how long you live now. You basically exist for 100 years. You come back and exist for 100 years, and you keep doing this until you finally get the picture that this is an existence, then you start to excel. So when they did that, when she was explaining all this to me, she was giving me this technology. And I have to say, you know, a lot of us, this technology that she brought forth, it's amazing how many people copy us in such a sorry way. I've seen so many products come in New Age on the markets. Copying our stuff is ridiculous, and none of them really do what they're supposed to do, but that's another story. But it was just amazing. And I asked her about that. She says, this is the planet Earth. This is what they do here. You know, they mimic, you know, it's so funny. But they did give us a technology wherein we could start changing our DNA around so that it would function properly. You know, the human DNA, how many of you know how many chromosomes in human DNA? How many of you watch any OJ soaps, first of all, to get your DNA lessons, learn about your RFLP testing, all that stuff? How many of you watched it? No, be honest. Anybody watching the trial here? Nobody? A few? None of you seen the OJ trial, right? Not a one. A bunch of liars, that's what you are. Yeah. So we got liars in the audience, but that's okay, you know. But anyway, the human DNA has 46 base pairs per turn. And when I started studying on the Andromedans in 1989, because they started teaching about divine intervention, the lessons got a little bit harder, a little more harsh. And I don't know, this tape series came out. How many of you in here have listened to this tape series? No one. This is real good. It was 18 hours that was done in 1990 and 1991. This is when this was published and recorded. There's a second volume with this, with a video in it, that actually shows the crop circles being made. Now there's some new footage that we don't have, but we filmed it in Stonehenge Live, which is expanded upon now, of the same stuff that we did in 1991. In this, when I was talking, and there was the Iraqi war on January 15th of 91, was just starting. And I was having a very strong contact with the Andromedans. The Pleiadians were starting to recede, because the Pleiadians cannot interfere directly in human events, because they already had wars in their home worlds, and the problem that they're plagued with, the human race, is what's called auric stench. And the big thing that we're talking about now is auras. What we're educating people on now is auras, not about a big picture and saying all the psychic stuff. We're teaching people how to use their aura frequencies. It's very important to learn it and use it as a tool. It's one of the things we're talking about now a lot in our workshops. But anyway, in 91, we talked about, she said, for example, as you lose your, this is Liara talking, as you lose your constitutional freedoms, the group FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Act, this is on the tape, will become very powerful through a series of earthquakes, floods, and fires. And living in Laguna Beach, I saw about all of it, you know. And she said, they'll make friends with the American public. And I already explained in my previous talks, for those of you that don't know me very well, about how the Greys put implants in. For example, Stephen Whitney, who back in 85 and 84 in Austin, Texas, with two implants in his head, started going crazy, writing a diary, killed his wife, killed 14 people, until he was shot dead off a school tower in Austin, Texas. ABC made a nationwide movie called the Diary of a Killer, or The Diary of a Madman, which was on nationwide TV. And even in the movie, they admit that they found two alien objects in this guy's back of his brain. From that legislation, they legislated, and they started taking away the small arms, semi-automatic weapons that look like AR-15s. And as recently as the Timothy McVeigh bombing in Oklahoma City, more freedoms went away. I don't know if you guys watch C-SPAN or not, but watch things go away fast. Watch them go away real fast. And do you think they caught the real perpetrators of the Oklahoma City bombings? No way. An idiot could have pulled that off with people that were in the pawns that were there. And I asked Liara recently, I says, how can this happen? What's the deal with these militias? And she explained, you know, we're coming into this space now where you can't go to sleep at night and dream it away. You can't wish it away. You got to face it. The astral plane is crashing down on the physical plane. What's behind the astral plane? The mental plane. The physical plane consists of 7 levels of consciousness. All these militia guys, for example, are looking. They're all paranoid. They're all saying, the government's out to get us. They're not talking about the steps sequentially of FEMA and legislation and terrorism and how that works. They are talking about 1991, how they tried to set up Saddam Hussein. It was a total jerk, but still he had no nuclear capability. But remember how they told you to stay away from the planes? Terrorists now might have briefcase nuclear bombs, right? And do you think in Oklahoma City that that was fertilizer that blew down that building in half the neighborhood? It's called C4. Where does C4 come from? CIA. Think about what's going on. You don't realize how deep this programming is going on. And I talked to Liara about this stuff. And she says, America's not really waking up, but it has to wake up. And how many of you go to sleep at night and you have dreams in here? A few of you? All of you? Do you know when you go to sleep at night what the dreaming process is all about? What happens if you can't have those dreams? Why? Why can't you process? Anybody don't know? Anybody know? What are you processing? Did you know a serial killer, for example, doesn't dream? He comatoses? That's an MO of a serial killer. We all have auras in here, okay? Your auras combined in this room make the personality of this room. If you were in here as one human being in this room with an aura, and you were the only person in the only room on earth, you'd have no personality. You'd have nothing to work against each other with. You'd be all by yourself. You'd be nothing, right? Then if I put another person in here with that one person, there definitely would be some confrontation. And the backlash of that energy is called karma. If I put a third person in here, we'd have a trinity. And now we'd have a triune. With a triune, you can create past tense karma, time and past tense called dharma. Dharma is what, if you don't get your feedback of dharma, is why you go insane. If 2 people were in here and one of them died, the energy would go on to the astral plane. The astral plane is nothing more than a reservoir of karma and dharma. You'd be up on an astral plane, another person would have to come along, or maybe the first 2 people that were here would have to get pregnant, one of them, and that third person would come back again and be reincarnated again. And you could perpetuate that and have more and more souls come in. And out there somewhere, you could have oversouls creating more and more individual souls. And over a period of time, you could have a whole human race. 300 years ago, where were the 8 billion people that were on this planet? 300 years ago, there weren't even 1 billion people here on this planet. You ever think about that? Where the hell were they? So, you begin to understand about energy. And when this energy goes down into the planet, this planet receives that karma, receives that auric frequency of humans. And you have a summation frequency. The summation frequency could be of the karma of the individual souls in this room, or it could be the ones that are out there up driving up down the roads tonight getting crazy and shooting each other and having a good time and paying for it by going to jail in the morning, which is most of this planet, or we could call them the growth-resistant generation. And we could furthermore say that group out there, they have more power than you do, even though they're stupid. It doesn't matter. And their energy is hitting this planet. And this planet is amplifying that energy. And that energy is not really coexistent, nice, with the rest of the solar system. So, now we come around to Pleiades. We're coming out of this believer generation to the knower generation. We've got a higher frequency soul coming down into a sea of growth-resistant generation. These people won't tolerate that. But these people aren't stuck in the ring pass knots of the incarnating cycle of planet Earth. These people have been out there like Jonathan Livingston Seagull hanging out in different planes. And they want to bring back something of essence to the people that have paid their time in this tub, that have served their time in these thousands of lives that we have to go through, a million years of evolution, and they want to set you free. So they have to realize this is all going on at once. Meanwhile, as we move along, the vibratory frequency comes up. Vibratory frequency means that in your brain, you have neurons, you have hormones coming stimulated by your chakra systems coming up to your brain. In your brain, these hormones are firing off synapses. These synapses are sending electrical pulses down through 72,000 nerve wires in your body. As you send this electricity through these axons, these nerves, There is magnetic fields at right angles. And magnetic fields at right angles vibrate at different frequencies. Depending on how conscious you are, will determine the frequency, vibratory frequency of the minerals in your body and the hormonal frequencies as they coexist, which gives you your consciousness. Some people, for example, are such a low frequency they can hardly see light around other people. They can hardly see light at all. These people usually illuminate themselves with neon lights all the time, you know, because that's all they can relate to. That's most cities, isn't it? Most businesses. They can hardly hear. Sound pollution becomes a rain in their midst. So these are the kinds of things that are going on now in light of this higher frequency coming. So what happens is you've got the Earth and Jupiter and Mars and all these different planets, and they line up, what's called the Jupiter effect. And as they line up to receive this higher enlightenment, because our sun is a G4 star, it receives a feedback. You know, during a certain time of alignment, for example, when there's a certain amount of anger, usually during a full moon, all this negativity is released in phase like a laser, and it goes down to the center of the sun. It shoots off solar flares. Solar flares go off creating solar wind, and boom, you have earthquakes as it hits human consciousness. Because in solar wind, coming from solar flares, it's the exact same effect as the full moon is on most people. Your serotonin level, if you're not ready for it, rises beyond belief, and you get angry, and you create more anger, which feeds more anger into the sun. And boom, more solar flares and more earth problems, i.e. earthquakes. By the way, the big one won't come to L.A., so just don't waste your time. Don't run from anything right now if you have any real power. Because the Andromedans are the kind of people that when they come here, after the Pleiadians left, they're here now with what's called divine intervention. And they'll work with people that are strong enough to work with them. You know, we call them the Highway Patrol. Some people call them the Andromeda Federation, the Galactic Federation. They come under many names. They come very strong. They come very predictably, and they're very real. And they're coming into everything. They've already began to change the anima mundi frequencies of the Earth. And that's very important, because before you have your rapid eye movement sleep, your REM sleep, before you have that, you have to discharge. You ever wake up like you've been to sleep for an hour or so, and you notice you're all perspiring and you're sweaty, yet in the morning you wake up dry and cool? Well, your brain, when your first few hours of sleep, is going 80% of what, you know, more capacity, and your body's detoxing, getting ready for the astral experience, trying to clarify it. Because if your frequency is off, before you reach your REM sleep, you're going to have a nightmare, because you're going to be engaged with toxins when your aura shifts 13 feet in the basic frequency. I'll cover this stuff in detail in my workshop. I'm just showing you some of the things that go on in the body that you may not be aware of. So getting back to sound pollution, Sannyasi got us into sound, because sound pollution is one of the ways that you detox your body. You've got to start detoxing your body and getting clear, getting your cells clear, so that you can realize how the chromosomes in the body work. When you're born, you have 46 chromosomes, and you have 46 base pairs per turn in your DNA. Okay, that's when you're born, when you arrive here. That's what you had in Atlantis. You're now, before the fetus comes out of the human womb, your energy is being processed by the human placenta and the female. The placenta is the final filter. The DNA is spiraling up in frequency, meaning that you have a 39.5 centimeter intelligence energy field of electromagnetic spectrum of microgenes and genes inside each cell in your body that's getting heavier and heavier and stronger and reproducing more and more to create the final explosion to bring you into this world. But when that final explosion takes place and you come out, you take your first breath and sever the umbilical cord, the base pairs per turn transmitted from your DNA goes to 34, meaning that when you take your first breath, you have lost 25% of your lifespan on this planet. If you read my tape series in 1991 when it was done, when you're 18 years old, it says in there, you have now 18 base pairs per turn. You have aged 50% by your 18th birthday. If you look out here, you'll see all the DHEA stuff. You'll see all the nutritional people starting to come online. A lot of the stuff's illegal with the FDA, because the FDA's knowing that when your body gets to a certain age, you don't produce hormones like DHEA, and made them illegal. B15 was a vitamin that was made illegal. So you can go out here in this tent now and see all these products. They're coming on the market now. Some of them are not exactly legal, but they're there. Some of them work and some of them don't. But you start to realize where we were in 1991. This is 1995, going on 1996, with our biochemical programs, our products that we produced back then. just to show you when I was talking about the imitation. And then when you're 50 years old, unless you've taken care of yourself, you're down to 6 base pairs per turn. That's all the DNA you've got. You've lost about 80% of your lifespan at 50. Now, you can turn this around, but this has to be realized. When you go to the doctor, you don't want the doctor to say, well, ma'am or sir, you've got cancer, but don't worry about it. Your grandmother had it, and it's hereditary in your family. It's a genetic weakness that you obviously inherited, so therefore, you got cancer. Bullshit, you know. You go into the doctor and say, you're going to live 200 years. Your father, you know, was a Pleiadian. This is great. You know, you've practiced these processes from other people, this higher consciousness. It's embedded in your genes. And that's the way you're going to turn it around. That's the only way you're going to turn it around. And what did Einstein say? Einstein said that great spirits are met by with violent opposition by mediocre minds. He also said the growth-resistant generation would have to die to get out of the way. Well, the Andromedans are basically here speeding up the process. And everywhere you look, if you understand what's going on, you can see their influence with the process of what they're doing and how they're doing it. One of the things that I'd like to show you, for example, is a real working Pleiadian piece of technology that transmits energy down into the DNA that causes tremendous changes under the stress of probably right now, or in this, even up here, maybe we're only breathing 250 poisons in this room versus this room in L.A. with 500. You know, maybe you only had a small amount of nitrites in your food today and a small amount of PCBs in your water this morning because you're a little bit further north. The fact is, you're getting hit with stuff all the time in so many different ways. Hopefully your bread wasn't nuked, you know, this morning when you had toast. Hopefully, you know, your potatoes weren't grown in radioactive ground. Hopefully you're not a mother on dairy products. If you're a mother that's pregnant on dairy products and you're in your 9th month of pregnancy and you've been eating lots of dairy products like you buy in the store and you go from New Mexico to Arizona and you cross the state line, the FDA can arrest you for transporting a radioactive substance across the state line. That's a fact, strontium-90 in your breast milk. So hopefully you don't fit in all that, you know. If you do, it's okay because you can deal with it and you can also deny it. And then you can, if you deny it, then you can live in a stressful environment. You can let the stress destroy you and you can be paranoid and worry all the time. They're your choices. You know, we all have choices here. But there are ways to get away from it. Now, what I'd like to show you is something about DNA technology here. Can I get one volunteer up here? You want to come up? I've never muscle tested you, have I?
No.
Oh, good. Okay, what's your name?
April Green.
Okay, put your arm straight out now. No, this one here. Oh, she definitely doesn't know what's going on. I like this. Okay, put your arm forward. Okay, I'll make a fist. Okay, now when I push down, you resist, all right? Resist. Let me feel your strength. Let me feel it. Come on, be strong. You're stronger than that. Come on, resist.
I am.
Oh, God, come on, April. No, you're not resisting.
I am.
Give me some strength. Now get a straight face. Okay, now we feel a little strength, okay?
Not much.
Okay, now what's this? That's got some skeletons on it, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a major poison. It's a glue. It's a very highly toxic glue. Okay, now put your arm out. What you want to do is breathe it. That's, you breathe glue. That's what you're a glue sniffer now. Okay, resist it. You smell it?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens now. Nothing, right? Okay, now take a break. Just hang on a second. She doesn't like the glue. I'll maybe somebody in the audience here. Do you guys want to try the glue? Is it strong? Is that strong glue?
Oh, I used it.
You like that stuff, huh? Anybody want to take a big hit of this for a few minutes? Okay, put this on. It's all right to take a whiff, but I wouldn't recommend it for very long. You know, well, it depends on where you want to go. Maybe I recommend it for a long period of time then. Okay, now put that back up there. No, are you breathing it now? You smell it? Don't be afraid of it. It won't hurt you. Ready? Resist. Resist. That's pretty good for you. Try that again. You're doing good. Feel the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I sure feel it. Mm-hmm. She operates good on glue. Thanks, Amanda Dack. Anybody else want to try that? I'll do one more. My husband wants it? Okay, bring him up here. An aggressive group here. What's your name?
Steve.
Hi, Steve. Hey, put your arm out. Now, you see the program, right?
Yeah.
Make a fist. Okay, now resist. Resist. Okay. Now try the glue. Go ahead, breathe. No, not a whiff. No, hold it up there. Keep it there. No, same way. Now resist. 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 Is that it? I guess so. He's not doing it. We're not done yet. I like this. It's easier to do in clean air, because the air is fairly clean up here. You get a notice. He's like, whoa, wait a minute here. It's all right. You're going to survive. Now put your arm back out.
Yeah.
Breathe. Resist. Watch.
Resist.
You're
not pushing down.
No. Push. I'm going to push down. Resist. Resist. Resist.
Okay.
There you go. There it comes. Feel it. Feel that?
Yeah, but you're pushing this way instead of that way.
Well, put your arm back up. Now, put your arm. Slow down. You're going way too fast here.
Okay.
Now, put your arm straight up. I'm going to push it down.
Yeah.
Okay, now resist. When I push down, watch. I'm going to lean on your arm. Feel that. That's me leaning on your arm. Okay, now put the glue up there. Same position. Now resist. Still me leaning on your arm. Thank you. Now, if you didn't notice that, you noticed it.
I don't know a conclusion. Okay.
Anybody else have a conclusion? It works. You know, the receptor is something that we've had around since 81. We do is when you buy one of these things or get one of these things or one comes in your life, you need the muscle test for the individual stone that you need. Because all the technology, like the receptor and a lot of these things, work off the fact that we're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Four gases in a solid. Okay? That, in study any science book, that's where you start. The carbon atom is the shape of the pyramid. It has polarity. It has a male polarity, has a female polarity. Now, you can come up here for a second. Okay? Now, put your arm out just for a second. I'll show you how to make it the other way. Resist. Feel your strength. Pyramid on that way. Now resist. More strength. Reverse the polarity. Put your arm up. Resist. Right here. Yeah. Sit down. Okay. That is, with a pyramid in your carbon atom in your body, you're an octahedron. Okay. You have a pyramid like this. You got a pyramid like that. And around that goes these three other atoms. Okay. So you got two things going. And I'll show you right real quick the second thing that's going on. Just show a couple people in the front row and you guys can share. All of you rub your hands together and breathe. Okay, now pull your hands apart. Feel that tingling? Some of you feel it tremendously. Okay, now just a few people in the front row. When I bring this pyramid over, turn your hands up, palms up, and feel it amplify it. Feel it? Yeah. Yeah. Come to my workshop tomorrow, we'll get more into this, but I'm just giving you a little sensation now. Feel it? It's very obvious. See, this is your body. Your body is reproducing 50 million cells per second. Okay, that's every cell in your body. Your DNA is telling you by frequency, by spacing of the genes, and by spacing of the chromosomes, as far as I can go here, because I'm running out of cord, the genetics are telling you that this is a liver cell, this is a heart cell. And the whole thing is regulated by what's called your immune system. And anything that you do is done to you, hits your immune system first. For example, what's the first thing you would take if you were coming down with cold or getting sick? What's the first vitamin, nutritional thing, besides food, what would you put in your body? No, wrong. Yeah, what if it's a virus, you know, and you put C in it, you'll feed the damn thing. Because you forgot something. You forgot the intelligence. Your body is 5% mineral. How many of you have heard of homeopathic medicine, homeopathy? Your body is 5% mineral. It controls 95% of your metabolic functions. The first thing you put into your body is chromium. Okay? How many of you notice chromium picolinate up and coming in the health food industry? If you talk to a real serious AIDS patient, the first thing they'll tell you they take a lot of is chromium. Why? Because it builds helper T cells. It gives intelligence to the 10th cranial nerve, what's called a parasympathetic nervous network. Then you put in your body vitamin A. Vitamin A is important because it's a red frequency. Hydrogen atom is 7 frequencies, red through violet. Red is the will. It works with a head center. You put vitamin A in. First you put chromium in to identify the intelligence, and then you've given it to the will. Now you put your vitamin C in, it'll go to work for you in great magnitudes. And it'll work. It won't go ahead and feed the virus. Same thing if you have a viral infection. And one of the biggest problems now with viral infections is taking antibiotics. And that's been so abused. Because most people today take antibiotics for anything, and as a result, when Ebola comes along, or something that you really need the antibiotics to fight, you can't fight it anymore. So we have to go to nature's antibiotics. One of those things that we're developing right now as I speak is not just a normal colloidal silver, but one of super colloidal silver with certain nerves in it. Why do we have...
Well, that ends that little session, and we'll see you next week. Wow.